I realize that it's Christmas has come and Christmas has gone and New Year's coming, and I spoke the other day about the fact that, you know, if you're going to go on in God, you need a newness, a sense of newness of life. You've got to know that your experiences of God aren't past and stale, but are present and fresh, and they're real. And everyone in life goes through stages. Not that Shakespeare was right, all the world's a stage, and all the men and women, merely players, they have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, and he goes on. You know, it's not that kind of, though that is true. But when we're in Christ, we have opportunity of either progressing and developing into something that's useful in God, or really just living our lives, and Christianity is kind of an add-on. And it depends what you aim at, as to what you achieve in life. Everyone has an ability to achieve. It's interesting, I was reading a book about Winston Churchill, and one of the things he did, he made a decision as to what he wanted to do, and all his life experiences geared him up to succeed in what he wanted. He used everything in life for one ultimate purpose. And a Christian's purpose is to be a true witness of Jesus Christ on the earth and to fulfill his perfect will in life. And so, really, all that we do should be set in the context of how it's going to develop us in God and how we're going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in the earth. There are really choices you make in life all the way along life's way. And if you make all the wrong choices, you end up accomplishing nothing. And a lot of people in their lives, just in the natural, accomplish nothing because they aimed at nothing and they hit it. They made a mistake of thinking that what you do is you just live, and they become what I would call passive people. And the problem with anything in life is you can get blasé and you can get accustomed to things, and then you just let the circumstances of life dictate to you and carry you along, and you don't attempt to swim against the current, and you don't attempt to change things. What you do is you drift. And once you get in a drift, you're in trouble. And it's all very well in life settling for anything, but if you have a direction in God, you've got to settle for him. What does he want out of my life? I think one of the strangest things is that when people get old, they worry about money. They're always worried they'll run out of money. But really, like everyone, people live for themselves. They get locked into their own little world. And in the end, what God wants, or a bigger picture, never ever occurs to them. And there is a bigger picture, because we live in a sin-sick world, and there's people who've never heard of Christ, and we have an obligation as Christians to reach out to the lost. We have an obligation to make sure we do the right things. And yet I find so few people really have that in their consideration. If you go and ask a person what they're doing with their job, well, are they really geared to developing their life in Christ, or are they geared to developing what they want? It's always a question. And if you look at young people, what are they really living for? And if you live for the wrong things, you destroy yourself. Things of this earth, in the end, what are they worth? And yet, the things of heaven and of glory, what are they worth? And it just depends where your values are. You see, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. What you value most will be kind of locked in. And you'll find that that's where your heart is, what you value most. And it's a question, really, of when you come to Christ, it's so easy to get centered on Jesus Christ at the beginning. And then Christ becomes more a periphery figure as you go on in life. You began well, but then it was really an encumbrance upon what you wanted in life for Christ to be the center. And so the lordship of Jesus ceases to be lordship, and it becomes an added on thing in your life. And then your life is really governed by money, by things, by family commitments, by marriage, by all sorts of things. But you lose the sense of what should really be. And you begin to drift. And it's not long before you've lost sight completely of what God wants. And really it's what you want, and God bless it. And so at a new year, and we're coming up to a new year, what better than to start challenging people about where you're going? I look out at the world and I see terrible things happening. I mean, it was terrible, that tidal wave. People went off to Sri Lanka, they went off to the islands, they thought they were going to paradise, and suddenly a 20 meter high wall of water came and hit them and swept some to a Christless eternity. They went thinking they were going to have a great time, and it got cut short. And you know, no one has a lease on life. But what are we going to accomplish in our lives? What are we really aiming for? For whom do we live? And when you start challenging people and asking the questions, it's sad to see how many people go so wrong. And I wondered, you know, I was thinking over the last couple of days, why it is people lose sight. Someone rang me up and they said, should they marry this person or should they marry that person? Or should they find someone totally different? Well, it's fine. I mean, people are free to ask me. Well, frankly, I always say, I don't have to live with anyone. You know, I've already got married, so they've got to live with a person. Love is the thing that counts. And if someone can't make up their mind between this one and that one or someone else, then as far as I'm concerned, they're not in love at all. I mean, they want to get married. Well, wanting to get married is not kind of pick, you know, what's available. That's not the kind of way it should work, is it? You know, suddenly across a crowded room, you know. There's romance has gone out of some people's lives, but romance goes out of Christians' lives. The love of God and the sense of what God wants for our lives drifts away. And people, they mix with the wrong people, they take the wrong advice, they go the wrong way, and they make shipwreck of their lives. And yet, God is well able. And you know, it's all in the thinking. It's how you think. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it's so easy to get caught up with the wrong thinking. Get caught up with the wrong thinking, and it's not long before you get the wrong actions in your life. And it's all to do with values. You know, if you find the pearl of precious price, you sell everything to buy the field where that pearl is. But I don't find many people like that. I find a lot of people get inspired initially and dead lately. And they drift. And they drift on life's waves. And when you talk to them, you find if the sun's shining, they're happy. And if the weather's a little contrary, they're very miserable. And everything's to do with themselves. And they've lost sight of God completely. Come to church, listen, and hear, but don't react. And it's the way life is. What really turns you on? I mean, what do you actually do things for? What are you going to accomplish in your life? What's your aim? I think about the children and my grandchildren, and my aim is to give them the best. I want to see the school succeed and children have the best chance they can have. Part of the reason was, for me, one of the things I realized when I came to Christ is it's so important. I lost my father when I was a young man. I was only 8. So I never had the benefits that a lot of other people have. And I thought, goodness me, I don't ever want that for my children or my grandchildren or for any child. There's a sin-sick world out there and they've got all the wrong values. I wanted a place where the values were right. A lot of things going wrong in the world. But it's amazing how when people have come and taken advantage of the benefits, how because they never had to fight for those benefits, someone else fought for them, they don't value them. My father got shot down out of a Spitfire in the Channel and spent something like 14 hours in the sea before they picked him up. And he fought. Everyone fought. Do you know what I see about society today is they forget the price other people paid to give them what they have. And if you don't know the price other people paid, a lot of my relatives on my mother's side died during the First World War. A lot of relatives on my father's side died in the Second World War. It was nothing to lose your friends. You know, we lived in a time, and I lived in a place where, as I said, they used to come and machine gun the prams in the gardens. You know, the Messerschmitts would come to try and kill, and the people who worked on the airfields, they knew the forces people. We were at Biggin Hill, and they'd come down and just machine gun prams in the garden. There was such hatred. My mother, I think, in the video she recorded for my 60th birthday, she mentioned that she 2 minutes before, she'd got me out of the pram, and she wondered whether she should have left me there before it was machine gun. A cannon shell went through it. God was protecting me. But do you know what I think? I often feel that, hey, people paid a tremendous price to buy something, and then the people that come after don't appreciate what was bought and at what price. They forget the liberties we have. They forget who paid the price for them. I mean, the many people bled and died for the Bible so we could have a Bible. Many people died for the Word of God so we could hear the truth and have freedom. Now we're abdicating our responsibility, and we're letting it go day by day. Society decides, well, you know, what's politically correct is what counts, and it doesn't really matter. And they're letting things slide away. They forget the tremendous price that was paid by someone else to give you what you have today. And because they never paid the price, they don't value it. And they say that in any place you'll get a man, a movement, and a monument. Nothing ever went to three generations except for the Moravians. The first generation, the people that paid the price to build, lived in it. But this next generation along, they took the benefits of it but never appreciated what it was worth. And by the third generation, it was just a memory. And I began to think, well, that's a terrible thing, that you can see what has been accomplished and achieved dwindle away. All the great universities in America were started by Christians. Tremendous move of God, tremendous education, and look at them today, secular. And yet there was someone who paid a price to build what was good, but there was never anyone to take it on. There was never anyone to take the responsibility and say, hey, that is not going to die while I live. But you have to understand the price that was paid. And then you have to make up your mind, is it worth you paying the price to maintain what was there? For other people, it was their life. And the only way to maintain it is it'll cost you your life. And to think that you can get it any cheaper is folly. And when it comes to the things of God, your life is the price. It's not a matter of, well, you know, everything's set. We either grow and develop or we die. We either go forward or we die. And yet, if you don't get people who prepare to lay down their lives, then what happens is a slow death. Because the lives that have been laid down have bought what they can, and then you can go so far, and then it becomes just a drift away. And well, you know, someone else paid the price. Someone else can pay the price for me. And that's what's happening in the world today. It's what's happening in our country. People have forgotten the price. One thing I don't forget, my father, I didn't live much longer after the war because of the problems it caused by spending so long in the sea, having been shot down. But he paid a price. But what I want to ask is, it's not world and politics I'm talking about, it's church. You know, I believe it's a time when you've got to make up your mind, well, do we progress or do we just say, well, we've gone far enough, you know, we don't need to go any further. To me, I want the school to be better, I want the church to grow bigger, I want the choir to be better, I want the Bible college to expand, I want everything to go. But I tell you what, it's going to take someone's life laid down to do it. If the school's going to go on, as the teachers get older, who's coming up to take their place? I mean, who's there? I can't see anyone who could really take my place. I don't think anyone cares. I don't see people with a diligence or urgency or sense that maybe it's good to preserve what God has given us and to go further. But I do believe it's important. I was over in Africa and I was at Abiyara's. What age is he now, darling? 70. You know what worries me? I don't see anyone there. And he's built a lot. Benson Idaho's built a lot. I see men who build, and then I wonder, where are people who lay down their lives to take it on? And the challenge is, what part are you going to play in maintaining and taking on what God has given? What are you going to do? Or are you one of those that says, well, you know, let someone else pay the price. I mean, you know, I've got other things to do. Other fish to fry. Life is about progression. Hey, we can't stand still. We've got to go forward. In this great scheme of things, we've got to look to the future. To me, the opportunities are boundless. I know this month I'm off to Cameroon. Ghana's open to me. They want me to go back there. They want me back in Nigeria. They want me off in Venezuela this year as well. They want me here, there, and everywhere. Well, if I kept going, I wonder what would happen here. And then I think, well, if I go, someone would have to do something. Not that I'm thinking of going. I'm just telling you that it's time to wake up. Every one of us has a responsibility. If you want something for your children's children, how are you going to maintain it if you don't put everything into it? If you believe the opportunities were great, don't you want them for your children? But to have them for your children, you're going to have to pay the price, because it don't come free. And as society slides down, the price is going to get more. Thank God I'm well over 60 now, and I'll be gone soon, because I don't like the way the world's going. I mean, I'm thinking like T.L. Osborne. He laughed and he said to me, I'm out of here soon. And he said, thank God for it. And I think the same. Now, I don't know when I'm going, but when I do go, I'll be gone. And I think, you know, I'm grateful I'll be gone. Because I just see people who are so ungrateful for what has been accomplished in the world. And they're letting freedoms go. I'm serious when I said on Sunday, it's lovely, you can come and have a look in my lounge, lovely to have a picture of men in red coats and the hounds and everything, hunting. Yeah, I mean, isn't it absurd? Could you have ever thought 10 years ago that, you know, it would be made illegal? That it would be made illegal to do so much that we had freedom to do? That all our freedoms are getting robbed from us so rapidly, and yet people bled and died to buy those freedoms? And then you think in the church, I mean, does it mean so little to you? Or does it mean a lot? To me, it means a lot. I find it very precious. Really, I do. You know, when I used to go to Benin City and listen to Benson Eder-Hoser, and I thought, you know, here was a man, they used to do human sacrifices under where he built his church. I mean, it turned a nation round. And I think, you know, he's gone. And there's no one paying the price to maintain what was there. And so I began to think, it's a new year, so how about a new challenge to each one of you? And you know, Friday's New Year's Eve, I think, isn't it? I mean, I'm going to put it into nice biblical context. But what about reckoning, hey, what am I doing and where is my life and direction going and what am I doing for God, and is Christ the center of my life? Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Can you say, well, that's me? First thing in my life is Christ and his righteousness. Everything else gets added to you, but how many people have got that as the center of their being? Some of you just don't bother. Too busy. Hey, the most important thing in life is the things of God. And it's all a matter of God's looking for men who'll pay the price. If you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. Jesus said, but if you lay down your life for my sake, you'll find it. There's price. And that's not just a kind of commitment and a decision. That's a way of life. It's amazing how people can make an excuse for not carrying on. You know, well, you know, let other people do it now. I mean, I could say that. Could say, well, I'm over 60 now. About time I retired, took it easy. I often think when I'm on a plane flying to Africa, why should I risk getting malaria or any of these other diseases going amongst these people? Why should I risk my life and limb? Why? It's because it's what I do. But I delight to do it. And then I think, well, do they really care? Are they really interested? I mean, does it really matter? I mean, do you really value what you've got? If it wasn't there tomorrow, would you regret it? I mean, would you lay down your life for it? Is it first and foremost in your life? To me, it is. I know what I want. When God talks to me, that's it. I'm going to have it. And I'll tell you something else. I believe it's going to be a great year next year. Got the devil on the run. That's why he's screaming so much. Pull his tail too much, and, you know, the guy gets mad. And God's a good God. He's on our side. But all I need is a few people to wake up and say, hey, just a minute, and realign themselves with doing God's will. You know, little things annoy me. Do you know, let's take the children. There's some children who have difficulties, say, in reading. Okay? Now, I don't believe in dyslexia. There's no such thing as dyslexia. There's physical problems, but they used to just class people as dyslexic, and that was it. They didn't bother to find out whether it was a problem with their eyes, it was a problem with their coordination, it was a problem with their muscles, it was a problem with their thinking, it was a problem with the way they were taught. They just classified them as dyslexic and dumped them. Now, if a child's got a problem, what I want to know is how to overcome the problem so that the child isn't penalized for the rest of their lives. That's the only thing I think about. I'm not interested in labeling, I'm interested in answering a problem. Let's find the solution. If someone's sick, it's important to find the solution to get them well. What it's not good to do is just label it. Well, of course, you've got this, therefore we can do nothing. But there's always something you can do. And the challenge of life is to be creative in finding the answers for people's needs. And the problem is when you've got people who are prepared to accept the status quo, well, there's nothing you can do, they've got this problem, you've got to understand them and accept it. I will not accept it. We can change it. We can change anything. We can believe God, and God can make it different, can't he? Amen? We've got a miracle-working God who's able to heal and deliver. What is the problem in life? Let's face it, let's tackle the issues, and let's become winners instead of losers. The worst thing of all is just to give ground to the enemy. What we're called to do, my Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of God. It's not a matter of giving ground to the devil, it's the matter of taking the ground off him, telling him he has no rights. It's a matter of being one of those people that says, I can change it, not one of those people that just gives in. And in life, we've got to look at it and say, hey, it's called compassion. Anyone can fail. The man who succeeds is the man who accepts that when he's failed, he doesn't have to live in failure. He gets up. Success is basically just working harder than anyone else. Success is just determining you're not going to fail. Success is rising up and believing God. And I believe it's a good opportunity to progress. Never go backwards. Never give ground. And while I've breath in my body, I will never give any ground. When I haven't got any breath in my body, put me in a cardboard box and I don't care what you do with it, because I'll be gone. But one thing I do know is, until that day, I'm going forward, never backwards. I can't believe when people want to run away. You know? I just like to take up challenges. I think it's good to, you know, it's a year of challenge, isn't it? Really. Hey. And now what we have to do, he promised a time of harvest, time of harvest, he gathers into the barn the good seed, and then it comes a time of sowing and a time of harvest again. Get rid of the tares, and that's it. I like it. I think it's going to be a great year. I think it's good to go forward. And don't worry about the enemy chasing you. God will fix them. And it's about time you grew up and stop being defensive. If you've got a problem, face your problem. Stop trying to justify failure. Start looking for ways to succeed. Stop justifying what you are and say, I don't have to be that way anymore. Stop sitting down and start getting up, saying it's time to move, time to go forward, time to take a challenge. You know, Moses made a mistake. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God said, what are you standing still for? Go forward. Too many people want to stand still and see the salvation of God. Time to move, not to sit still. Hey, great year, great opportunities, great challenges. And it's good to have a challenge all the time. Live with challenges. I like it. I think, well, there's potential out there. Real potential. And God intends us to be securely taught, but with a purpose. Jesus Christ is building his church. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. Let's make sure we're part of the building. And let's make sure this year, instead of having negativity, let's have the positive aspect of I will not fail. And when someone has a problem, tell them we'll find God's answer. Instead of accepting and giving them sympathy. No one needs sympathy. Sympathy doesn't help anyone. You don't have to be like that. Do you? But, you know, it's a great year. What are you living for? You're living for Christ? We've got opportunities to go on American television for free for a whole year. And I'm going to take the opportunity. We've got opportunities to do lots of things all over Africa, all over America. I want to take those opportunities. But I tell you what, you guys need to wake up. It's time. You know, when you come into a meeting, you can just sing along and sing the song, or you can really engage your heart and your mind. A lot of you just don't. Do you know your kids learn from you? I know more about you by watching the kids in the school. Do you know every bad habit you have, they display? And some bad habits you don't have, they display them too. They give you away. You know exactly what's going on in the home by the way the children behave. I look at some of the older people and I see, you know, their children have grown up and got married or gone out to work. And I look at what they're doing and I can see why they made shipwreck. Because their parents weren't faithful. They learn more by watching you than they ever do by listening. And it's so important. And you need to realize you've got a tremendous responsibility, because you're not only destroying your life, you're wrecking your kids' lives. And they don't have a chance. And do you know it goes on from generation to generation? And you can watch the generations go. And you think, you know, they haven't got the manhood and the courage to stand up and be different. They just repeat the same mistakes because they learnt it at home. And I believe we've got to change that. That's why I preach the gospel. That's why I challenge, because I believe God's able to change it and break those generational things so that you don't curse the future generation, you live different, and you give them a true hope for the future. It's a good time to be alive. Amen? You know, when things get dark, you don't have to be such a bright light. You know, a candle in the dusk doesn't look much. But getting pitch blackness, well, I mean, you know, it's getting that way. So, we just need to be prepared. This year, year of challenge. Confrontational. You know what people don't like about this church? It's confrontational. Well, I believe in confrontation. You confront the devil, you confront sin, you confront the problems of life, and you say there's a God who's able to change it. And if you don't believe in that, you shouldn't be a gospel preacher. Because we've got a good God, we've got a great gospel, we've got good things happening, and hey, we don't have to just bow down, do we? We want to be right with God. Amen? Hello? You agree? A challenge isn't bad, is it? Is it? It's all right, isn't it? You don't mind, do you? You're sure? But that's what you expect, isn't it, from me? I mean, you wouldn't want me any different, would you? Thank God for that. Got to be alive. So we're going to have... what I want you to do is when you come, we have a meeting. What I want you to do is write down in your mind, think about it, and then write down and make a covenant with God. Say, hey, there's things I want. And say, God, where do I want to be in a year's time, 5 years' time, 10 years' time? What am I really? What is my purpose? Not only in the natural, but also in the spiritual. Where am I wanting to go? What am I wanting to accomplish? And start thinking about your future. Say, all right, Lord, I've got this. I want to do this, I want to do that. What do I want for my children? What am I doing to accomplish the end that I really want in God? And write it down and start to set goals so that you're not one of those people that just drifts in the circumstances of life and just drifts along and anything can happen and it doesn't matter really. You're one of those people that says, hey, I've taken hold of my life. I take hold of the circumstances. I'll change things. Wesley said if he could get 10 men like that, he could have changed the nation. I'd just like to find one. Determined to go the right way. Cost you everything. In a church, that's what it's about. Laying down lives. Think about it. And when we come together, we'll come together to celebrate the year that's gone and to celebrate the opportunities that are coming. Challenge you. It's a good challenge to think. A lot of you, I'm sure, are just thinking, well, I just need to get through the year, and you just plod on and you don't really think about the future and you haven't made any plans at all. It's good to set your heart and mind, say, hey. Okay? Hello? It's easy to do, isn't it? Say, what am I wanting for in the next 10 years? Where am I going? What do I want in God? What am I wanting to accomplish? Some of you need an education. Some of you need to set your goals. Some of you need to wake up. Let's pray. There's prayer requests. Amen. Father, I thank you. You always hear us. Lord Jesus, in your mercy and your grace, just reach into each one, Lord. Meet their needs, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.